A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We left off at verse number 33. The Lord Jesus here giving a series of parables, starting with the parable of the four types of ground, and then giving other parables telling more about his kingdom, about the kingdom of heaven. And that's the reference here in the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven. I think it's very clear that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, mentioned in the scriptures, different authors using different phraseology to describe such. They're all one and the same. There are those that believe that they're different somehow, but I don't believe that that's the case. There is one kingdom, and it is our Lord's. And that's one kingdom from the standpoint of one eternal kingdom. One kingdom that has always stood. One kingdom that will always stand. One kingdom to which all other kingdoms, nations, peoples, and tribes are subject to. Whether they acknowledge the Lord or deny the Lord, his kingdom is the kingdom that will last, as it will be declared in the end of this earth and the end of during the time of the end, the thousand-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he is over all. And so here in verse number 33 of Matthew 13, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And so another parable, it's short, one verse, few words, one sentence, but again, parables being the content of parables being about things on the earth amongst us as we live and we move around in our day-to-day lives that explain to us a spiritual thing, have a spiritual meaning and application. And so here the Lord tells us about his kingdom, that it is pervasive. Just like a woman purposing to make bread or make rolls, some kind of dough, some kind of baked goods that requires some yeast, that's the best way that you and I can understand leaven. Leaven can also be understood with things like honey and sugar. Not the substance of the bread. Most bread is made with some kind of grain, wheat of some kind of grain, or flour of some kind of grain that has been ground very, very fine. And to make it raise, a woman will put yeast in it or sugar in it, shortening in it. And the yeast, the sugar, the honey, whatever kind of additives are very, very small in measure compared to the majority of the content, that flour that is at hand. But what happens? As a woman would take such and begin to make her dough and apply these minor ingredients that add sweetness, that add the ability to rise to the dough, as it's being kneaded, as it's being allowed to set, there's kneading that can be done by the one that's making the bread. the baked good or rolling, such things like that. They roll out doughs for pie crusts, other kind of baked goods. And what happens is that minor element that's put into it, that small element, that of yeast having such a great effect, that those yeast rolls, that yeast has a great effect to the final product. It's the difference between having a cracker and having a big fluffy roll, isn't it? That yeast, and it properly applied. What it does is that minor ingredient spreads through the dough. And you know what? You can hardly help from it spreading. With a little bit of effort and a little bit of work, it just spreads through. And that's what the woman desires for her baked good, her bread to be homogeneous. It's all the same for it all to rise equally. That loaf of bread put in the pan and set in the oven, you want that yeast to be through and through with it. And it just spreads itself and has a great effect. That's the way the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of heaven will spread, will grow, will permeate, will invade everything of this world. And will have an impact. It is the kingdom of heaven that the Lord acknowledges and loves and cares for. And that's the way that it is. It's unstoppable. It cannot be stopped. Even though in the way of the world and the things of the world, it may seem very, very small and very, very weak, it has a great impact, a great effect. And so the Lord gives us another aspect of His kingdom. His kingdom will not be destroyed. It will not be done away with. It is the kingdom of kingdoms. It will rise above all the rest. And when He comes back to this earth to lead it and to usher it in, it will indeed stand forever. There'll be no other kingdom that can rise against it. Verse number 34, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, verse 35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. A quote, as we understand it, from Psalm 78, verse number 2. The Lord told that he will speak. He will speak unto the world in parables. And as I've mentioned before in this chapter and in other broadcasts, the blessing, that great blessing that you and I have in our day is not only do we have the parables, but to some extent we've got the explanation. We've got the explanation of several of them, like this one. There's no explanation given. And someone, if they're just thinking about bread and have no understanding about the kingdom and work of the Lord, they can be left just kind of saying, what's he talking about bread? What does a baked good enter into, as they would think, religion? Well, he's not talking about the baking of bread, other than our understanding about how yeast and sugar and honey and additives have an effect on the bread. That's the way his kingdom is, too. It has a great effect, has had a great effect, is having a great effect, and will have a great effect on this world. Verse number 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So they have a desire. The Lord has told them, they've asked earlier on, so why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you speak to the multitude? And he quotes Isaiah again, telling about how it is that the people's heart is waxed gross in verse number 15. The ears are dull of hearing. There's just no capacity within to be able to take in and comprehend the word of the Lord. He said, and so they have that problem. He said, but to you it's given. And so they, having heard that, are willing to go to the Lord and say, tell us about the tares of the field. Tell us about that parable. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And we can understand that, unto a man. He said, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And so here the Lord tells us something that is very true, that is the truth, and he lets us know the meaning of it. The good seed that is sown are the children and the thing of the kingdom. And the children of the kingdom are the children of the kingdom. Now, as they are sown in the world, given life, they may look just like the tares. But with the gospel and the word of God and the power of the Spirit, they are made alive. But the tares are the children of the wicked. And those things are fixed. An enemy came and sowed, and that seed that he sowed were the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. So we have clarity about that. The harvest is the end of the world, the judgment, and the reapers are the angels. And so understanding there about the reaping. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, hear that if you're not saved, tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, love their iniquity, pursue after their iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, a common reference to hell and the lake of fire. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, the good seed. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So they asked the disciples, come and said, well, tell us about the parable of the wheat and the tares. And so the Lord says it's the Son of Man that sows the good seed. No bad seed sown by the Son of Man, only good seed. And here in this, it's made very evident about the elect of the Lord, the children of the Lord that he has chosen before the foundation of the world that he would bring to salvation. Now, there are many that are greatly offended by that, but praise be to God, there is a people that will be saved. Now, you and I, we don't know who they are. We have not a clue because the wheat and the tares, as they start out and grow up, they're just not known. The vilest of sinners have been saved by our Lord. Who would have ever thought that such a man as Nebuchadnezzar could have been saved, but the Lord saved him? It's most apparent. Who could ever thought that a wicked, wicked king such as Manasseh could ever have been saved, but the Lord saved him? Who ever thought that a religious man, a very, very religious man, name of Saul of Tarsus, could ever be saved, but the Lord saved him? He looked like a tare early on in his life. When the Lord saved him, it was made evident that he was wheat. Who could ever think of someone being possessed by seven devils could be saved? Well, Mary Magdalene was saved by the Lord. She was some of the Lord's wheat. And who would have ever thought that a man possessed by a legion of devils could ever have been saved? Well, the man, the demoniac at Gadara, he was saved by the Lord, looking like a child of Satan, looking like a child of the devil. But the power of the Lord and his salvation made it evident that he was one of the wheat seeds of our Lord. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com. or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.